Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Elijah Campbell here with you. Titans coming down the home stretch of their practice today. Julio Jones missing a second straight full practice after leaving the practice 2 days ago a little bit early. Mike Vrabel did not address the media at all yesterday, so we'll let you know what he says today. I might even play that live for you. Coming up in just a minute, we will hear from Roger Saffold. Robbie and Rex Road talked to the big fella, the big left guard, earlier this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Remember that ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Tonight, Nashville SC takes on New England, number one team in the East. It's a big, big game. Quick turnaround.
Their only loss, isn't it? Nashville SC's only regulation loss, I believe.
That I'm not sure about, but I do know they've only lost one in regulation. They've got a ton of draws. But key stretch of road games and short rest for Nashville SC tonight. Pre-game starts at 5:45. The match begins up in New England in Foxborough at 6 o'clock. So keep an eye on that one tonight. Listen in on 94.9. Nashville SC has become a really, really good story here. They have played very, very well. Still a good ways to go in that season. I always wonder, Elijah, should they try to compress the schedule a little bit more? It's a long schedule. And we know in these parts, and this will be something they have to just deal with, you know, in coming years, is once you get into September, it's hard to keep the spotlight. Whereas, you know, these last few months, it's been really fun to watch them. They've had some nights where they're kind of the only big event going in our town alongside of the Sounds, who are like an everyday thing. But you got two great venues now in the summer that you never had before.
And a great atmosphere, too. I think that's been the biggest thing. Yeah. They've developed such a good fan following that when you go to these games, it makes it fun to cheer for them. Even if you don't know a lot of the ins and outs of the MLS, I'm still personally learning a lot of the ins and outs of MLS because before Nashville SC, I watched European soccer, and it's definitely a lot different over there, like what is in the Premier League or La Liga. Rules and like in the game, obviously very similar, but the way the leagues are structured are pretty different. Like there's a playoff format. They don't have playoff formats over there. So learning a lot of that is a big thing here in terms of the learning curve of the MLS, but this city has really embraced it, and that's been the most fun part about it. People that aren't huge, you know, soccer fans are going because the atmosphere is so good, and that's how you build a really good fan base. Example, the Nashville Predators. There's a lot of really good parallels too, and once they get their own stadium and they're able to pack it like you want to for a soccer game, it's only going to go up from here. They've done a fantastic job connecting with the community in that, and it really helps when the team is winning right away.
I've said it before, they're so far ahead of where the Titans / Oilers were when they were in the transition waiting for their stadium to be built. Ironically, it's the stadium that Nashville SC is playing
now,
in
yeah.
as they wait for their stadium to get built. But they're putting together a really good foundation and fan base that the Titans quite honestly did not have when they were in Memphis and when they were at Vanderbilt. Of course, overnight, it exploded when they moved into the new stadium. I think you know that's going to happen, but I think Nashville SC is going to start that much further ahead when they open their stadium. It is going to be bonkers. It's going to be really, really fun. Now, let's transition back to the Titans. Roger Saffold, a guy that really, you go back to the offseason, people were a little much wondering, were they going to bring him back, or was he going to be one of those cap casualties that happened as they dealt with the fact that the salary cap was going to stay pretty much flat this year. But the big guys in there, he was able to answer some questions from Robbie and Rex Road this morning. Here's what it sounded like.
What's training camp been like so far? What's the first week or so been like on the field with your new teammates this year?
You know, it's been great. We've been dealing with a lot of heat, you know, but we've been really getting some good work in. Guys have been really competing. We've got a bunch of new faces, so it's a breath of fresh air out there.
Just off the top of your head, Roger, who in the first few days of camp is really making an impression? It doesn't that have to be at your position or D-line, but just who comes to mind when I ask that question?
You know, there's been a few people. I think that Jack Rabbit has been doing a great job. Janoris Jenkins, I think Jeffrey Simmons has been doing a great job. We've been seeing some of the young guys on the D-line starting to step up. I think the Jayons are doing a great job, along with our inside linebackers have been doing a great job of just running to the ball and being really aggressive. And, of course, you know, our leader's been doing a good job, Kevin Byard. I've been seeing great work out of Taylor LeJuan, you know, coming back from his injury. So, I mean, we got a bunch of guys that's really been stepping up. And once we get everybody together, it should be something special.
Well, Roger, you bring up Taylor LeJuan. What's it been like having him back out on the field and you guys together when you've been on the field? Just look so comfortable together on that left side, and we're so dominant on that left side, both in the run game and the pass blocking game as well. What's it been like to have him back out there and back on the field?
He's just great energy. You know, he's a great character to have around, and you know, you can't match it. So it's just nice to have him on the field, just bringing that juice day in and day out. Also, just being able to kind of work with him through individual and even a couple group activities that kind of help us, you know, fine tune everything that we need to do as far as being a left guard and left tackle. I see that, you know, our chemistry is continuing to be there, even though he hasn't been on the field for a long while.
So at this stage of your career, Roger, you guys put the pads on, so obviously, you know, more work for you guys and harder work. How important is this time period for a veteran offensive lineman, when you got that balance of, you know, you want to make sure you're fresh for the season and stuff like that, but I imagine, you know, contact and actually playing the game is still important to get ready for the season. Like, how do you approach that?
Oh, 100%. So, I absolutely, you know, I have to make sure that I take care of myself so I'm fresh for Sundays. But at the end of the day, this is training camp. You know, I want to be a part of training camp. I need to be able to get that hitting in so I can get my timing down and get, like, leverage and some of the small fine-tuning of the techniques that I need to have. So these are great times for me. And, of course, you know, the longer that we go through camp, Coach Vrabel and John Robinson, Todd, they're all going to help me to stay fresh.
Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Roger, fans watch you play, and we could see even videos on YouTube and stuff of you just mauling people in the run game. Just from your vantage point, doing this as long as you've done it and at the high level that you've done it, what goes into being an elite run blocker? What do you think is the most important part of your skill set that you have to be an elite run blocker?
I think for me, you know, as being an offensive lineman, I always looked at, you know, talent is great, but also, you know, just kind of like that work ethic and I learned that, you know, being stronger would help me. I've tried to do that to the best of my ability, and then it just comes down to aggression and mentality of kind of just, you know, the way that I come off the ball, the speed that I get to the second level, and just making sure that I'm delivering a pop that puts these guys on the ground.
Is this offense going to look the same, Roger, as it has the last couple of years, or is there going to be some, you know, some noticeable differences going from Arthur Smith to Todd Downing and you know, adding Julio Jones?
You know, I think that Julio is just another great piece, part of our offense. I think that our offense identity is the same, and we'll just see how it goes, because I know that through the running game has really been one of our staples. But when you got Julio out there, I mean, of course, he's another option to just use, and he's going to be helping us out in the run game and the pass game. So I think our identity is the same, but it's awesome to have another weapon out there.
Roger, A.J. Brown's been capturing a lot of attention so far at Titans training camp, and we know how good A.J. is. But he looks completely healthy this year, which I think is very scary for opposing defenses. You've played with a lot of really good players in your career. What do you kind of forecast the next stage of A.J. Brown's career looking like as he continues to improve in this league?
It's all about, you know, just his confidence and just making sure that he goes out to practice and keeps putting those quality reps together. We know that A.J. is a hard worker, and, you know, when he goes out there, he's going to run. He's going to try to make great routes. He's going to try to catch balls. I just think that the next thing that he just needs to do is just constantly focus on his craft. And, of course, it's going to get him to that elite level. But, you know, it all depends on A.J. what he's going to do. But so far, I like the way that he's been moving. I like the way he's been running. You know, when we really get him into the zone, you can see some great plays of him blocking as well. So, you know, we're just going to get that full package out of him week in and week out. And I feel like, you know, this training camp, you know, he's constantly improving as well.
How competitive is it right now, Roger, with the offense and defense? I mean, I think it was Saturday. Nate's coming out of some scrums with helmets in his hand, and, you know, there's some intensity out there. I know it's hot. Now the pads are on. Is it more competitive and intense just O versus D when you guys get into team than it has been in the past?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely more intense. Our defense is extremely hungry. We're such a physical, you know, offense. There's going to be those days when it gets really hot and when these hits start coming in. But there's going to be a couple scuffles here and there. But everybody's brothers in the locker room at the end of the day, and that's all you can look for out of your team.
Roger, a lot of guys returning on the offensive line, but a few new faces as well. Kendall Lamb coming in, Dylan Radins drafted in the second round as well. What have you made so far of the new guys coming in on the offensive line?
I'm just slowly seeing guys improve, and I really like that. You know, the way that our offensive line runs is different than what they've seen before. You know, the great thing is that because we have such a good nucleus on the offensive line is that these guys are really buying in and buying in early, and that's kind of what we need so that we can improve every day. So I like what I'm seeing out of Lamb. I like what I'm seeing out of our younger guys. Our rookies are starting to come along. You know, all these new faces are going to help us win. We need them. So I like what I see out of them so far.
A couple young guys on the other side who I thought looked quick and looked in really good shape, and they were both off-season winners, Tier Tart, Laurel Murchison. Are you seeing the improvement in them? Do you think that those guys, you know, can be in the rotation and help, you know, Simmons and Autry maybe get a little bit more rest this year?
Of course. You know, I think that both of those guys are definitely coming along. You know, they've had good years in the off season, you know, getting some strength behind them, you know, being able to do what they're supposed to do, but also playing their style of ball. You know, they're working their butts off out there, and I like what I see out of them so far. You know, when we look at the passing game and the run game, you know, getting any type of disruption is helpful for our defense. And they've been able to do that. They've been able to show some signs of that. So I like to see, you know, how we do that when we get into these game scenarios. So very excited for those kids in the next couple weeks.
Roger, I've got to ask you about your quarterback. I mean, obviously, if you've watched him play here locally, we know how good Tannehill has been the last couple of years, but it doesn't feel like from our vantage point that he gets the respect or the due that he deserves league-wide and nationwide, at least in the media. Do you guys notice that? Do you pay attention to it? Does it bother you, or is that just something that that you don't really think about and you move on and you just worry about what you can control here in Nashville?
Well, I mean, I think that people look at us as we're a running team. Which, you know, I mean, we do have a lot of faith in our running game. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at how efficient Tannehill has been and how many situations that we put ourselves at the end of the half or end of the game, it's hard to not recognize the guy. So, yes, I always want to try to throw Tannehill in so that people understand that he is still a weapon for this offense.
All right, so which rookies are impressing you in the building, Roger? Vrabel told us that Caleb Farley has already delivered a couple raps. Like, are you getting guys singing their fight songs? Like, what kind of talent are you seeing in there?
These guys are doing everything from songs, jokes, raps. it's almost like a talent show out there. But, you know, I'm really excited for the actual rookie show. You know, that's my favorite.
When is that?
It's a nice light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to camp.
That's like the end, right?
Yep.
So do you guys, like, do you have any role in, you know, picking guys or saying, hey, I want you to, you know, to do this or that, or you just kind of let them put it together?
Do I have any what now?
Well, like, do the veterans, do you guys have any say in what they do, or is it just basically the rookies are going to put it together?
No, not really. You know, we're kind of putting our trust in them to kind of get it together. We have one of our staff actually helping them as well. You know, I expect a bunch of look-alike pictures and, you know, a few jokes, and also a few little scenes I'll probably come up with that should be pretty funny. But hopefully it's good, man, because we don't have no problem booing you.
There, so. That's right. Roger, we appreciate you.
That's Roger Saffold. Always fun. The team bonding, bringing in the rookies at training camp, a tradition that everybody does, the hard knocks. You can picture through the years some of the great skits, some better than others, but hopefully the Titans rookies will bring it and be very entertaining. Look-alike pictures are always fun.
Oh, that's good for anything. I mean, if you can find a good look-alike picture, even on this show, someone like tweets at us, you know, we have had several of those, some comparison pictures. Like, it's never not funny, you know, unless it's not accurate.
When we come back, we'll delve into a little bit of what Roger Saffold said, and we'll talk some Titans offensive line, some of the things that that he touched upon, and we'll look at Saffold at this stage of his career. We'll tell you what Football Outsiders has to say about him and the offensive line when we come back, and then that will carry us right into Mike Vrabel's daily press conference after practice is over. We will carry that live here on 102.5 The Game. Stay tuned. We're coming back. This is a good song to be playing when you're driving fast. And with that in mind, this Saturday, catch a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe at 9 a.m. Brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision and Repair. Chase will be all over this event coming up, so make sure you tune into that. Willie Donick, Elijah Campbell here with you on Darren Donick and Chase. We're just minutes away from the Mike Vrabel press conference, and so we will hear what he has to say about today's practice as we continue to give you great coverage of the Titans training camp. Now, speaking of that, you just heard from Roger Saffold. He had some interesting things to say. Here is Football Outsiders and their take on Saffold, and they remind us, and I think we can remember this with our eyes. We don't even need the analytics to tell us, but it took him a little bit to get settled with his new team. He had a rough preseason that first year, 2019, and got off to a bit of a slow start. Then he really, just like the team did, he hit the groove, and he's played very, very well for them. Last year, I think it was pretty clear, he battled some injuries. He was not 100%, but still played admirably. This is the concern right now. They're getting into, these are the words of Football Outsiders, Saffold and, next to him, Ben Jones, both pushing the bounds of, quote, grizzled veteran. Jones continues to be excellent. Jones has started every game of the last five seasons, except for one. Almost pushing 4,800 snaps. And he's been charted with only 61 blown blocks over that time span. So if you look at the two veterans, Saffold and Jones, on that section of the line, then you throw in that Nate Davis has really settled in as a good guard. I like that they've kept the continuity of that offensive line. So I think with Saffold there, you like what you're seeing. If he can stay healthy, I still think you really get good quality up the middle of the offensive line.
Which is incredibly important when you're running a run-first offense that runs on first down more than any team in the NFL. I mean, it's all about continuity, right? I mean, you start seeing a little issues when injuries occur. And even last year when you lost Taylor Lewan, and it was almost like a musical chairs effort there at the tackle position, they were still able to establish the run in a lot of these games too.
I think that's maybe the best thing you can say about Saffold is that he kept his play and the offensive line kept its play at a really good level despite the issues that they were having at left tackle, right next to Saffold. You got to hope that with Lewan back, it's a whole different story. And also remember, slow start, Saffold, new team. That was also when Taylor Lewan was suspended for the first four games of the season. So that probably contributed to his slow start as a Titan. So really, if you look at how he's progressed since then, he has been a really good investment that they made to bring him over from the Rams. I like what he had to say there. One thing that jumped out at me, Elijah, was he said, when asked the question that everybody's going to get asked, what's different about the offense? What's different about the offense? Everything with the new coordinator in there, that's what everybody's going to be looking for, especially with Julio Jones. Is the answer to that question? I hear a pretty clear consensus of what the answer is going to be, that the identity wants to remain the same. This goes back to our conversation last hour about Derrick Henry and the workload. The the best thing they have going for them is that when you play the Titans, you know that physically it's going to be a bear. They're going to try to wear you down. You're going to have to pay a price to beat them. They want to keep that intact. I think that's a smart approach.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? I mean, if you're Todd Downing too, I mean, the wisest thing to do is obviously see what went well for the team last year and schematically keep a lot of it. Just because he's gone, I mean, you have to implement your own offensive scheme too. I mean, this obviously is a team that is best when they run the ball heavily and play a lot of play action. They're the best in the league at running play action, and it was incredibly effective last year. Now personnel wise, it's a little different. You're not as deep at tight end, but then you add one of the greatest receivers in the 21st century onto the roster too. So that's going to be the biggest challenge, is really how are you going to incorporate Julio Jones into this offense? But I really think it'd still be wise too, is to keep it similar. I mean, I'm not saying reduce Julio Jones to Corey Davis, but having him as that number two option is only going to be good for your offense. And just keeping a lot of what was successful last year is going to be the key, because obviously they've done it before.
That's the challenge, is to incorporate Julio Jones, add some wrinkles, but not lose the identity.
Not lose a step either. I mean, still be able to keep up what you did statistically, which was out of this world, one of the best in the NFL.
All right, Elijah's multitasking because he is keeping an eye on when Mike Vrabel will start to address the media. One other thing to point out on the thing that we're centering on is the tackles. The return of Taylor Lewan. You have to hope that post-ACL he can find the groove. Once again, we just sometimes today assume that even though it's an ACL, in this day and age, you're kind of expected to come back there and play at a very high level. When that's not always a given, sometimes it takes some time. Let's hope that Taylor Lewan is ready to go. He's had a little bit more time because it happened, relatively early in the season last year. So he's had, some time to maybe build up to this. But let's check that. Here's what they look at. They at Football Outsiders, they label Kendall Lamb and Ty Sambrello as more journeyman, baseline replacement level guys, not obvious starters with what they've done before. And if that's what you have, there's nothing really wrong with that if the other parts of the line are strong. But the question is can Dylan Raduns, and how are we saying his name? I hear Raduns, I hear Raduns.
I think it's Raduns.
Raduns?
Yeah, okay. I could also be wrong there too. Yeah.
Okay, we got to practice that a little bit or ask a little bit more. But the second round pick here, you hope that he can raise the bar, if he can jump to the occasion. I kind of heard in Roger Saffold's voice that hasn't happened yet, but it is very early in the camp. Now, let's go over and listen in on Mike Vrabel.
No. Okay, go ahead, Ben. Save the tweet. Ask the question. Let's go.
Brady Breeze kicked out of practice at the end.
It was the last play. I mean, guys are competing. We're trying to, that's always the hard thing. Is that we try to get him to play full tilt to the tackle, great effort, great finish, all that stuff, compete. We just have to be smarter than that. I mean, the ball's in the air, the receiver's up in the air, and not playing the ball, just put his shoulder into the guy. I mean, he saw the unfortunate situation yesterday in Carolina. And I get it to a certain degree, I do. I get it that guys are, this is their livelihood, man. These guys are trying to make this team and trying to find a role for themselves and stand out. And then it's just very important and very critical that a part of that we learn how to practice. We have to come out here, we have to practice against each other and compete. Stay up, stay away from the quarterback. We're not cutting anybody, we're not taking any cheap shots on anybody. So Brady's a young player, hopefully he can learn from it and we can learn from not getting anybody injured and we can move on.
Why are you so animated today at practice? Very vocal, perhaps colorful, maybe. Basically just yelling at everybody today. Why exactly?
I thought that'd be like a normal day.
That was a little bit more than normal.
You don't come very often, Jared. We know that. I know, but in the past you haven't been here as much. We needed to have some energy. We needed to follow up what we did yesterday with some more energy and just trying to provide that and you know, we didn't script anything today. We got both teams on the side and a lot of moving parts, a lot of guys down, offensive line, very, very thin. And we have games and we have weeks like that, right? We can go back into, you know, the 3 years that, you know, we've been together here. You know, things happen during the season. The preseason's chaotic. You know, just trying to work the operation. You know, you're going to go in there in the third quarter and field goal block, and this lines up this time. This guy's in for this guy and this defense. And, you know, so I thought it was a good opportunity for us to get some of that work in. And I would say that it was more positive than negative, and we moved in the right direction today after what, you know, I didn't think was a very good effort on our part yesterday.
Now that you've had 2 days with pads on, how can you assess, you know, your guys up front in the trenches?
I mean, I think the defensive line has been a really good group for us. It's been a group that's had full numbers. You know, when we come to camp, we have a breakdown of what we think that we need. And, you know, John and I went heavy on the roster at offensive line because we knew we had some guys that were working their way back. You know, Taylor and Ty. But then we also knew that we had some veterans in Roger and Ben that were going to need some days. And unfortunately, you know, that's the group that's kind of gotten hit the worst and hit the hardest. So, you know, I think that they're battling. I do. I think there's been some really good efforts up front. I thought that half line run and pass drill was a good drill. I think that's the way we need to start practice or start our day or start our game, you know, with those base fundamentals. You know. I mean, obviously, Taylor's a large part of what we're doing here. And, you know, he does have some energy and some excitement. I do feel like he's been able to harness that for the good, you know, and not, you know, do some of those things that would hurt the team and try to learn from some of those. And, you know, he's been locked in and he's done everything that we've asked him to do, you know, in his return. And he wants to add more to it. He wants to do more, so that's positive. What we ask him to do is individuals, one-on-ones, you know, work and conditioning, and he's done all that. And so, you know, hopefully we can progress here to the next step and kind of see where that goes.
If he's harnessed properly, as you say, what can that energy bring to you, whether it's the huddle or the...
Well, I mean, we need him to block his guy and not let his guy make the play. But he has a personality, and we want him to let that personality out and be excitable and have fun, you know, and help us move the football, help us score, right? I'm not trying to take anything away from his personality, and you know, I enjoy it, and we have a really good relationship. But
some patience. You talk about him wanting to do more. What's that process like when you got a player wanting to do more? You obviously got his best interest in mind with the trainers. How do you work through
that? Well, I mean, it's a conversation between the doctors, the trainer, myself, you know, and what we're trying to do and what he needs and where he's at physically. And, you know, we're going to have to start incorporating him into, you know, he's doing the jog-throughs, which are good. You know, and we'll see, you know, where that leads to. You know, does it lead to more one-on-ones? Does it lead to some reps in the team period? I don't know. But as long as he's we're all on the same page, I think that's what's most important.
What have you seen out of Dylan the first couple days of pads?
You know, I think it needs to be better. You know, it needs to be better. It's a young player up front and playing right tackle, playing right guard, playing all over the place because guys are down. You know, we need to, you know, start continuing to make some progress. I think the consistency has been what's been lacking. You know, see a really good play and then, you know, see a mistake that maybe we've made, you know, or he's made previously and that we've tried to correct. And he needs to correct that like every player does so that we're not, you know, making those same mistakes 2 and 3 times. That's most important.
In the period, and you run it sometimes where defenders are covering, but you don't throw. Could you talk through what you're doing there and why the throw part is important?
Well, it's about a progression, and Ryan's had a lot of, you know, throws, and we were using a quarterback down there And to me, it's more about, you know, the receivers in this particular drill. I think that you're talking or referencing was a bunch drill. You know, just trying to get guys to come out of the bunch, whatever route concept we have, defensively, you know, how they're going to handle that. And that, to me, is the most important, as opposed to, you know, worrying about a catch and a two-stripe finish and just being conscious of, you know, their legs. To me, the most important part of that was not picking ourselves on defense and make sure that we have our good spacing on offense. And, you know, we're going to trust Ryan to progress through. And sometimes that's even better, you know, than sitting there and throwing the ball, that he can progress and see who's open. And I think we can go and learn from it on tape and watch it. I didn't have a chance to watch it. I was at the other drill. But, you know, hopefully we got something out of that today.
Last week you talked about Sam Brailo eventually returning as an option at right tackle. Kendall has not been at right tackle since really the beginning of camp. Why play him, practice him on the left side, and how comfortable would you feel about him on the right side?
Yeah, we feel very comfortable. I think that, you know, what we've tried to do is put the best five guys out there. And with this camp, with Taylor, with where he's at now, you know, that's been Quiz and Lamb. And Kendall is going to have an opportunity to compete at right tackle. He will. So will Ty. I've told him that. You know, and Quiz has done a nice job. He's battled. And, you know, I think he's a better player now than when he got here. So, you know, we're trying to work all those guys in and just try to find the best group for where we're at right now in practice.
How much is a trust factor from what you saw from Questenberry last year when pressed into action, maybe help him in that competition?
Well, I mean, we trust all of them or they wouldn't be here. I mean, I think that Quiz took advantage of opportunities. He knew what to do. I thought he finished. I thought, you know, it wasn't perfect. You know, he got beat some, but, you know, he was battling and he was competing. And, you know, that's all we could ask of him. And, you know, we love Quiz and obviously going to give him an opportunity to try to help us.
How much did you like the practice squad rules last year? And would you like to see that sort of become a permanent thing in terms of being able to manage your roster that way?
I mean, I think what we've always tried to do is just figure out whatever the rules are and, you know, and play by them and operate by them. And if it's 16, it's 16. If it's 8, you know, we'll have 8. We didn't have many guys to keep. We had some quarantine guys, the extra snapper and punter and all that other stuff last year. You know, we talked about the quarterback earlier, but, you know, we'll see. We'll see going forward. I mean, we're planning on 16, obviously, this year. And how many of those guys we need to keep away. And then, you know, if we can find some guys that we feel like can help us if they have to go in the game on Sunday. And then, you know, how we feel like we need to practice and if we need extra linemen or whatever we need.
How is Shane working out so far in his more involved role?
Good. I mean, I think there's been energy over there. We've turned the ball over, haven't had many mental errors. You know, very early. But from what I could tell today with the unscripted stuff, I think that there wasn't guys running around with the call, with a late call or anything like that. We wanted to keep it, you know, purposely fundamental and basic. So let these guys go out there and play. Nobody was trying to scheme anybody. I wanted to be conscious of that. So, good. You know what I mean? Just like Todd has been and, you know, everybody else. But we got to keep moving. We got to keep pushing ahead everybody and try to hold everybody accountable.
The three guys you have returning punts, sometimes five. Chester's got by far the most experience in the league. How much does that give him a head up?
Well, experience is good, but also production and the ability to make good decisions and to catch it and show that they're clean and all those that we track and film every punt that they catch. And he has had experience, and so, you know, they're all working for that role. They all get a chance in preseason to return them against, you know, some live coverage teams.
You feel pretty certain it'll wind up being one of those three guys?
Well, that's who we have catching right now, and then until somebody else comes in that can, you know, show that it's certainly not going to be Big John. We gave him a chance the other day. He dropped it, so he lost his opportunity.
Your weekend to camp, what are some things that maybe have stood out so far? What are some other things that you're not – pleased with that you need to see improvement on?
Jim, I'm not going to give us a state of the union after 1 week, man. We just got to keep getting better. You know, we've got some work in the red zone. We've had some third down. You know, we'll continue to add 2 minute. You know, today was a good day, step in the right direction, not having a script. But, You know, I'm not going to be ready to evaluate, you know, the roster and whatever, you know, wherever we're at right now.
Where does teaching fall within the responsibility of a play caller or a coordinator versus the other things that they're responsible for?
I mean, I hope that we're all great teachers, whether we're the head coach, the head athletic trainer, the strength coach, offensive assistant, whatever that may be. Like, we have to find ways to teach, be creative, to help our players learn best. They all learn differently, and you know, I think it's always the combination of how much time do you give them with the position coach, how much time are you in the unit, how much time are we in a squad, you know. And so I try to fill in the gaps of where they're at when I have a squad meeting. That, you know, that 25 or 30 minutes is about teaching, is about the penalties and how they're calling something, or the situation, or, you know, what I see around the league, or the effort and the finish, the fundamentals that we're playing with. And then, you know, the coordinator's got to do his job and fill in those gaps, and then it trickles down to the position coach, and then ultimately the player's responsibility to take that information out onto the field.
How confident are you in Christian Fulton's ability to take on a much bigger role this year, given all the changes in that unit?
Yeah, I mean, he's been out there, he's been working, and, you know, confident in Christian. Just continue to work on his consistency. I mean, you saw him, you know, the one thing was cool. He got beat, you know, Josh caught a pass on him early in camp, and he came back with the same route and was able to stay square and not back up, and he got an interception on it the second time around. So those are positive things that when you know, make a mistake, that you come back and you recognize it and you learn from it. And, you know, he took advantage of the same coverage and the same route and got it, made a play.
Your backs, especially Darrington, are taking advantage of the extra reps with Derek, you know, being slow go early on.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. You know what I mean? Mackay, all those guys. The fullbacks, there's good competition. Darrington, you know, we got Jeremy back. And, you know Brian obviously is playing this league too. So it's a good group. It's a group that's been available each and every day. And I would say that every day one of those, or a few of those players, have done something that has stood out. You know, I think Josh was a pro. I think he learned a lot in the spring and a lot of the transition to the offense and really got off to a really good start in training camp. And he's working hard to get back. And, you know, when he's ready to get back, we'll put him back out there and hopefully he can pick up, you know, where he left off. Because, like I said, he was doing some good things.
Josh.
I don't even know what you're referencing.
How is Julio doing? Any
concern? You know what? We're going to be probably cautious with Julio. So the Julio watch, you know, will continue. We'll have a plan for him. But I would anticipate, you know, that he would be, that we would be all on the same page, you know, by the time the season started. You're going to see him out there at times. You're going to see him on the other field. And so he's played a lot of games. And that's kind of where we're going to be each and every day. So we can kind of all be on the same page, and I won't have to address it every day.
So there you go. That is what we were wondering, is would Mike Vrabel address Julio Jones, who has not practiced the last couple of days after leaving practice on Monday? So you heard it right there. Going to be cautious with him. Julio watch will continue. They're not going to update it every day, but it does sound like he's going to be dealing with something, but the goal is to have him ready to go on day one. So something is going on for sure. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will recap some of the other highlights of the Titans press conference headed by Mike Vrabel. Our coverage brought to you by Hillside Medical. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more of Darren Donick and Chase.
You know what? We're going to be probably cautious with Julio. So the Julio watch, you know, will continue. We'll have a plan for him. But I would anticipate, you know, that he would be, that we would be all on the same page, you know, by the time the season started. You're going to see him out there at times. You're going to see him on the other field. And so he's played a lot of games, and that's kind of where we're going to be each and every day. So we can kind of all be on the same page, and I won't have to address it every day.
Smart move by Mike Vrabel, addressing Julio Jones and pretty much laying out a plan for the next few weeks. Mentioned that he would be on the side field day. So it's like they've already got this plan. I don't know if this has been the plan from the start or this is what they're going to go to because he has tweaked something. I don't know, but it sounds like a very reasonable plan. As we get back to Darren Donick and Chase, Mike Vrabel's press conference coverage brought to you by Hillside Medical. And so that's the headline. Julio Jones doesn't practice again. Don't know if he's going to practice tomorrow, but this is going to be the question. It was always going to be the question when you have a 32-year-old wide receiver, what's the smartest way to get him ready to be at his peak during the season, and how much can you get out of him? That remains to be seen, but I certainly appreciate Mike Vrabel's willingness to sort of lay out what they're going to try to do.
Be a little more candid about it. Yeah. You know, that way
that was good.
At least
he didn't have to say anything, really.
Extinguish some the fire of some worry that some Titans fans might have, because like this is the thing with Julio Jones in Atlanta too. I mean, he didn't practice a lot. Chris Domino's come on our show several times and said some of the frustration with some people within the organization or the fan base was that he would miss a lot of practice. That's something you're going to have to do for a player who's, I think he's, what, past the age of 30? Like, he's obviously not as young as he once was he got in the league. So, like, managing the workload in training camp and in practices is one thing, and then being extra cautious anytime something might come up is also another thing.
The other thing that came out of the press conference, I thought, as a theme, was something we were discussing really leading up to the press conference, and that's the offensive line. He admitted it's still a little bit banged up, and you knew it was going to be. Taylor Lewan, right now they like his progress, but he's not ready to jump in there and do team drills yet. That really shouldn't shock anybody. But, you know, you're cautiously optimistic that by the time it's really time to get it on, that he'll be ready to roll at that left tackle. What's interesting is what they've been doing in the meantime. They've been playing Kendall Lamb in his spot at left tackle, where a lot of people are looking at the right tackle spot and saying, well, if Kendall Lamb is competing for the right tackle spot, why isn't he playing right tackle now? Mike Vrabel sort of explained that. Jared asked the question. It was a good question. But he says right now we want to put the five best guys out there. And what is happening is the offensive line is struggling some. As a result, Mike Vrabel sort of started the press conference by saying that he liked the energy, but right now the defensive line is outplaying the offensive line. He does say that eventually Ty Sombrello and Kendall Lamb will compete at right tackle, and the third guy in that mix, Dylan Raddins, if I'm saying it right, Raddins? What did we say? Raddins?
I think I've heard Teron say Raddins.
Raddins, okay. A rookie. We got to practice. We got to go ask him. Somebody ask him. Help me out. This is a play-by-play guy here trying to figure it out. But the rookie, Mike Vrabel, did not hesitate in saying he needs to be better. He'll make a good play, but then I think this was telling. He'll make a mistake, and unfortunately there are times where he's repeating the same mistake. That's the kind of thing that will keep you out of the lineup at the start. He'll get there. They certainly hope he will get there. It takes longer for others. It takes longer for some than it does for others. Some guys, especially rookies, maybe they can dive right in there, but it's a lot to expect, especially coming from where he's coming from. You know, not a top-level sophisticated scheme that's
coming
compared
from the
to
FBS
the NFL.
Too. I mean,
yeah.
the guys you're lining up with when you're playing at North Dakota State,
it's just not
is going to be a lot different. I mean, you might face one or two guys in the NFL, and same thing for most conferences that are not the SEC. I mean, you could say this about guys that are in the Pac-12 too. You're only maybe facing off on the other side of the line of scrimmage against one or two guys that have even, you know, second string NFL speed at the defensive line or tackle position, and that's going to be a big adjustment as well. And I think there was even a learning curve when we had AJ Blazek, Vanderbilt's offensive line coach, and was Raiden's offensive line coach at North Dakota State, tell Darren that there was a little bit of a learning curve that he had to take at North Dakota State. But once he was able to correct some of those, he got on the right track. And I think that's something you're going to have to look for here. And Teron even mentioned during a rookie camp that he sees a lot of potential there and he can expect him to be starting, he said, by week 4 or 5. It's just going to be a lot of adjusting for that learning curve that he's going to have.
It sounds to me like a guy that's got a lot of tools physically, just needs to refine those tools. Not unlike, you know, maybe a pitcher who's a flamethrower. He's got the stuff, but the command isn't there yet. He'll make too many mistakes. You're not going to see the results yet, so it's hard to throw him in there now. So a little more seasoning, a little more development behind the scenes, coach him up. So it may not happen week one. In the meantime, you hope that Lamb, Quisenberry.
He was very complimentary about David Quisenberry and saying, and that he's obviously been a better player since he got there to training camp, and that he's been able to move him around that line a little bit. That was one of my biggest takeaways that I wrote down listening to that, was maybe the offensive line, even though they haven't produced well so far in training camp, according to Mike Vrabel's standards. I mean, if you're able to get good production out of David Quisenberry, you can be able to account for injuries later in the year, or if some shuffling needs to go along the offensive line, which is one of the reasons why I kind of like Kendall Lamb, even though he's, in theory, trying to be projected to be the starter at right tackle. Until Luan comes back, putting him at left tackle could prepare him for something that happens during the season. So, like, worst case scenario, Luan's not ready for week one, right? Well, if Kendall Lamb's been at that position for the last several weeks or all throughout the preseason and training camp, then maybe you're not going to be as far behind as you thought you would be in theory if you knew Luan wouldn't be ready for the start of the season.
I like Quisenberry as the utility man that you can plug in anywhere. I love think he's that. Reliable there.
It's needed.
So we'll wait and see how Sambrylo is able to develop too. It doesn't sound like he's, you know, full bore yet.
Also coming back from injury.
Right. That's another thing. So you got a couple of guys coming back from, you know, the ACLs. You got Lamb in there. So that's the dynamic going on at the tackle position for the Titans. A theme today of their press conference. And once again, just to repeat, Julio Jones, Mike Vrabel saying they're going to be cautious with him. Get ready for it. He's not going to practice a lot. He did not get into specifics of what he's dealing with right now, but he said he made it sound like it's not a long-term thing, but they're going to be very careful and manage him. The quote was, he's played a lot of football games. He knows how to get ready, but I'm not going to address it every day, but get ready. Some days he's going to be on the side field. He'll practice some. He'll take some days off. There you have it. When we come back, we will move forward with Tim Hasselbeck, our chat with him, talking some professional football. That's coming up next here on Darren Donick and Chase.